The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of God and Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning, and please be seated. Watch any reality show, and what you begin to see in these shows are beautiful people. They're the perfect, the most beautiful people in the show. And what you begin to see is that the show tries to promote a certain kind of class of people. Perfection. They have perfect hair. They have perfect skin. They have perfect waists. They have perfect everything. But if you look not only at these shows, but you look at the commercials, you look at newspaper ads, you look at all kinds of TV shows, one begins to feel that what's being promoted in our culture is a culture of perfection, a culture in which people have it together, a culture where people can do things in the right way. And so what we have is a culture that tries to get us to feel as though we have to ascend to what they're saying to us to be. And so perfection is something that we can get caught up, and perfection sometimes can be something that could ruin everything else that we have in our lives if we really try to live up to that level of perfection that's being promoted on our TV and in our newspaper and in our ads. In April of 2001, there was an article that came out that said that beautiful people have happier lives. They have at least better looking spouses. They make at least 10% more money than anybody else does, and they seem to see a more fulfilled life. They have all kinds of good features that go on. And maybe we get caught up in that kind of desire to be just like them, to be happy, to be good, to be perfect, that we find ourselves always coming under the wire. And so we wax, we tuck, and we pluck. And we do all kinds of things to look better, right? We increase and we decrease our sizes in all kinds of ways because we always feel like we're not good enough. And so we try the house that's better. We try a job that's better. We try a car that's better. We try all kinds of things to make ourselves look better. Do you know that in 2011, 9.5 million people in America alone went for cosmetic surgery that was both surgical and non-surgical? 9.5 million people. And in the same year, there was 750,000 people who were the young kids, young teenagers, are tucking, waxing, and plucking. They're doing all kinds of things because you know why? It starts early in socialization, where children begin to feel they're not good enough. They're not robust enough. They're not perfect enough in every way. And so there's a sense of insecurity that's coming in. You can get addicted to this idea of being perfect. You can always feel not good enough, and so they can really get you. The advertisers and all kinds of people in society can always make you buy their stuff, act the way they want you to act, look the way they want you to look, because you feel always insecure. And so you know when I was reading the gospel today, especially that last line where it says, "Be perfect, just like your Father in heaven is imperfect," I said to myself, are you crazy? How am I going to be perfect? I'm the least person to be perfect, you know? And so what I did really is I did a word search. You know, when you really get puzzled by text, do a word search and see what the word means. So perfect, when I started to look at the word perfect, means wholeness. It means direction. It means persistence. It means trying to get something complete. And so I said to myself, why would Jesus use that word and why would it remain as perfect? And so I started to think, maybe Jesus, this is the last part of the Sermon on the Mount that you've been listening to for the last 4 or 5 weeks, if you haven't noticed. And so I know you've noticed, right? You can't wait to move on. But this is Jesus' last attempt to get us to realize that we have to be perfect in everything that we do. Blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my namesake. They shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who give witness. That is perfection. But how can you be perfect in a world where Jesus is saying you have to keep all these rules? And so I said to myself, is it possible that Jesus is asking us to live a life where there's no error? To live a life where we don't falter, that we don't make mistakes? Surely what he's suggesting to us is that we be persistent, that we try to be whole, that we try to stay true to the goal of what he's asking us to do. We may fall, but we rise again. And what we do is we try over and over and over again. How many marriages have been ruined by this idea of perfection? When you date, sometimes you think perhaps that this person has to understand you, has to know exactly what your feelings are right through the door. If you run into the bathroom because you're upset with the person, that person stays and is supposed to figure out what your feelings are in the deepest part of your soul. And so this idea of perfection really can ruin things. The idea of marriage is something, compatibility is a function of love, it's an achievement of love, it's not a prerequisite for love. And what we do is we live our lives with this idea that things have to be perfect. And Jesus today, using the word perfect, is really throwing a snowball at us because we have to then figure out what it means to be perfect. To be perfect is to be whole, to not give up, to try again, to dust off yourself when you fall or get knocked down and get back into the game, back into the rest of it, and try to figure it out, because it is the constant doing of something that makes you perfect. Because it makes you perfect, it makes you whole. You see, the idea of trying over and over and over to get something, sometimes you just get what's good enough. Can you live with what's good enough? Can you live with someone who is just good enough? And I don't mean just good enough that it's like, it's just good enough. I mean, it's good enough, right? I wish I could explain. It's just good enough. It's a person is faithful, honest, loving, caring, makes a mistake here and there. But a person is all kinds of things to you. But it's good enough. This person is going to be there at your side. I mean, when you ask somebody to marry you, what in the world are you asking? You're asking for someone to help clean the bathroom, be a chauffeur, help raise these kids, feed all kinds of animals, clean your house. I mean, you're asking them something that you later on wish you never did ask them to do. You know, it's a relationship with people that if you look at it through the lens of perfection, it will never succeed. It will fail. But if you look at a human relationship in which you slowly begin to understand each other and wrestling with each other, get to know what it is to be human, what it knows to be in relationship, you get a good enough relationship which is whole, a relationship which is grounded, a relationship which you know that you know about the other individual and they know about you. So Jesus wants us to be persistent in our life, to be persistent in our faith. And one of the greatest things that happens to us is that we try to be perfect and we fall from that perfection. What do? We either judge ourselves and leave the religious world, or we become phony. Or we become people that can see through. Has anybody ever criticized the Christian faith and said, you know, they're a bunch of phonies. They try to love you and this and that, blah, blah, blah. It's because they're trying to live up to a goal without really having their heart in it. They're trying to do something that is not real. Rather do something that's real. And be the person you are than to try to be something you're not and be a phony in the process. And Jesus is trying to get us to remember that we are who we are, and perfection comes through constant effort and trying over and over and over again. There was something written, which is a Jewish commentary in the book of Genesis. It's called Genesis Rabbah. It's not something that we have in our tradition. It's something that I'm reading on the side because I really like the Jewish tradition and the Jewish religion. But I think it's just so perfect. Because in this Genesis Rabbah 1:4, it suggests that God made seven things before he created the world. Seven things that he did before he created the world. He created the Torah. He created the throne of glory. He created the creation of the fathers. He created Israel. He created the temple, he created the idea of the Messiah, and he created repentance. Why would God create repentance in the beginning before he even created man? And I think that he created repentance knowing that repentance would be part of our history, would be part of our human nature, and that we need to be able to come back to God to try again, to learn again, to be deepened by that experience. Even though you're broken and hurt, you come back and you gain yourself again every time you turn around and you try to do something again. And when you try it again, you get new eyes, you get a new heart, you get a new sense of yourself, you get a new confidence about who you are. And so you try over and over and over again. And this idea of God creating repentance before he created man was to teach us that this is who we are. We're not perfect. We need to be persistent. Are you persistent at all, or do you give up so quickly in your life? I mean, anybody who's going to be successful is going to be persistent. Anybody who's going to play an instrument and sing beautiful has to be persistent. Anyone who preaches has to be persistent. Anyone who loves has to be persistent in that love. It cannot be perfect, but it's persistent. It could be good enough, and God is asking us, be good enough. And so I wanted to give you a couple of examples of people in the Bible who were good enough, people who were persistent. And these people, for example, the first one is the widow and the judge. Remember that story? That little woman, she must have been 4 feet two. And she went into the judge's face and she said, I'm not leaving. You're going to have to grant me my wish. And he, oh my God, this woman's going to drive me nuts. And so eventually she's so persistent. What happened? She wins, right? Okay, that's an example. How about the Syrophoenician woman? Or the woman looking for her lost coins? Didn't she sweep up that house? Didn't she search everywhere? And finally when she found it, she had this big celebration. She called all her neighbors, let's celebrate. How about the Mary taking the seat before Jesus? That was something that was unprecedented. No one sat before Jesus except there was a man. But Mary put her feet down and she sat right there. She was going to learn from Jesus exactly what he had to teach. A couple of other ones. The woman with the flow of blood. Remember that woman? She had an issue of blood for many, many years. And she went through this whole crowd. She wasn't afraid of going, I'm going to touch him because he's going to heal me. She ran through it. She pushed her way through. And she got what she wanted. She got the healing. Even Jesus says, ooh, something happened here. And the disciples said, what is this? Everybody else is pushing you. The women at the well, how about the women at the tomb? Didn't they take a big risk to go out there? They could have been killed. They could have been arrested for being at the tomb. The widow's offering. My favorite is Mary confronting Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus. And where were you? Where were you? If you would have been here earlier, he wouldn't have died. Where were you? I mean, do you make talking to Jesus, you know, I mean, really putting him in his place. And then the other one, of course, is Mary, who tells Jesus, come on, you know, make some wine. We need a little wine for this party. Remember that? And so he transformed the water into wine. You see, our lives are not to be driven by perfection, because perfection is something that is the other side of this world. It's in heaven. It's not something that we can become. And religion is not about making you perfect. Religion is about making you real. It's about making you persistent. It's about making you authentic. It's about making you feel like you keep trying over and over and over again in your life to try to do the things you want to do, no matter the circumstances, no matter what obstacles. It's so easy for us to be broken if we had that idea of perfection, because we'll never live up to it. And anybody can hold it over our head. How many relationships have we had that we tried to be perfect, and the person just had the power over us because they kept dangling? You should be. I expect you to be this, and we've given in to that. With the gospel, we're liberated from that mentality. We're liberated from that idea, and we're realizing that our strength is in getting up and trying again, over and over and over. And when you do that, you'll find yourself. But more than that, you'll find the meaning of your life, and you'll find the Christ that is inside of you that never gives up, that never gets down, and that never will be shut up. Amen.